The following content originally aired on the Live and Local program, which airs every weekday morning from 9 a.m. to noon on WKVT AM 1490, your source for news, talk, and the arts. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening.
February is Heart Health Month, and we've been spending every Monday morning visiting with folks from BMH's Center for Cardiovascular Health. Talk about heart health, in particular heart disease in women. Joining us again today, Phaedra McDonough, nurse practitioner, cardiologist Mark Burke. Good morning. How are you both doing on this fine sunny Monday morning?
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah.
They sound less enthusiastic than I do about it. It's because you don't have days off, right? You're here, but this is part of your regular work day. You don't have a day off like so many other people in the community because it's President's Day.
That's not true.
You go, all right.
I have the weekend off.
Oh, okay. Well, you have the weekend off, but you don't have this nice little long weekend that people working for the town do. Okay. But that's important. You know, you've got to be talking about health at all times, always on the job in that regard. This week, kind of the way we've been segmenting these topics, they've all revolved around heart health in women, but here specifically about talking to women about heart health. And Phaedra, it seems like the first thing, the first myth that you need to dispel when you talk about heart health, heart disease, is that it's a man's disease. It's something that women need to be concerned about as well.
That's true. We do need to dispel that myth. We know that since 1984, more and more women are dying each year from heart disease prematurely. We want to also let women know that they are more likely to die actually from men from their first heart attack, and they're more likely to have a second heart attack.
That is something really to think about. Why would a woman be more susceptible to death from the first heart attack? Is it something just physical? Is it that they let the symptoms go longer? I see here too, when you're talking about symptoms, you're saying that sometimes women don't have the same symptoms as men.
This is true. There is some subtle differences between how men and women present. However, the most common symptom for both men and women is chest pain.
Mm-hmm.
However, women's chest pain tends to be less intense than men. We tend to think of chest pain as crushing, but that is not necessarily how women will present with their chest discomfort. And often other symptoms are more bothersome for women, such as shortness of breath, fatigue. You can have upper back pain as your presenting symptom for heart disease. You can be nauseous, vomiting, flu-like symptoms. So women will say they have chest pressure, but what really bothers them and limits them the most is shortness of breath,
mm-hmm,
or their upper back discomfort along with that.
Now, are these sorts of symptoms things where people should be looking at severity, duration, in terms of how do they look at it, how do they feel chest pain and say make a distinction between chest pain of indigestion and chest pain that, hey, maybe I should go to the doctor for? Are we talking about the intensity of it? Are we talking about how frequently it happens, how long it takes?
So that is a very good question. And the answer is no, it doesn't have much to do with severity.
Yeah.
It can be, there are people who can remember very clearly who walked into my office and just said, I don't feel well. And I would say, how don't you feel well? And they'd say, I don't know. I just don't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
It's very vague and nonspecific in certain cases. And as Phaedra mentioned, most people have very typical symptoms, which are frontal, you know, under the breastbone, pressure-like sensation, coupled with shortness of breath and nausea. And they may have all those, none of those, some of those, and that's kind of our job to try and figure out. And the problem is, you know, for example, you mentioned heartburn. When people have heartburn, a very common presenting symptom for people with heart disease. The problem is most times heartburn is just heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to sort that out is not always so easy. However, I would say on the other hand, most people know somewhere in their head that there's something different about this heartburn than, mm-hmm, there is about some other heartburn, and they'll come to the emergency department or give us a call or whatever they do, or present to their regular doctor because they know something isn't quite right, but they can't quite figure out what it is.
Right.
So, but the intensity of the discomfort is not necessarily a marker of how bad the problem is.
And same goes for shortness of breath, fatigue, those kinds of things that sometimes seem like every day, especially if you have a lot going on. It's President's Week. The kids are home from school. If mom is the caregiver, she might just feel a little more tired this week because she's dealing with the kids.
Right. So fatigue is a great example. Every virtually every diagnosis in the medical textbook has fatigue as part of it. So being fatigued doesn't mean you have heart disease, although it might.
Mm-hmm.
And being short of breath for most people in our society just means they're out of shape, because they are.
Yeah, right.
That's a sort of a progressive and cumulative problem. And people eventually, it gets to a point where they suddenly notice it. And to them, it happened between yesterday and today. But really, it's been building over years that they've just been more and more out of shape. And suddenly, they realize they can't do this. Oh, I can't climb the steps. Oh, that happened just yesterday. I could. Well, no. No, it's just they just suddenly notice this cumulative issue.
Well, that's why there's this, I mean, the disturbing statistic you gave here in terms of the number one way women present with heart disease is by dying of heart disease.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's really, and the statistic you give here, what, 67% of women who die suddenly from a heart attack had no symptoms before that. But we're talking about knowing the signs early, knowing the detection, knowing things like the risk factors. And it's more important to get to these, Phaedra, when women are young, prior to the times of the age where heart disease can really set in and be a problem. When you talk to women, young women, about the risks of heart disease, what kinds of things are you highlighting?
Well, I tell young women that cardiovascular disease occurs over time.
Mm-hmm.
So how you live your life when you're younger, the foods you eat, the exercise you do, whether you smoke or you don't, will make a difference as to whether cardiovascular disease will present for you in your middle ages. The risk of a heart disease in premenopausal women is climbing yearly, and this is primarily due, we think, to the overweight and obesity epidemic in this country. And when you're overweight, it increases your risk for diabetes and high blood pressure, and these increase your risk for a heart attack. If you are premenopausal with diabetes, your risk for heart attack equals that of a man of the same age, which is important to understand because women tend to present with heart disease later than men.
Mm.
But when they start having these risk factors show up earlier in life, that equalizes the risks.
Mm-hmm. And you're also talking about a younger and younger age population presenting with things like obesity and diabetes. So as, you know, even teenagers now or even younger than that. So the risks of heart disease could manifest themselves at an earlier age as well. We're kind of still at the beginnings of this sort of trend in things. But would that be fair to say that heart disease could set in at earlier ages as we see this trend towards people out of shape at younger ages?
Oh, absolutely. When I started doing this 25, however many years ago, the typical person was a, 65-year-old man who would walk into my office, and the youngest I would see would maybe be somebody in their 50s. Now we see people in their 30s and 40s and men and women, and it's really striking. And it parallels really the increase in weight and the lack of exercise that we see societally.
Now, you talk about lack of exercise, but one of Dennis Leary's jokes, one of the great jokes out there among comedians when they talk about people, exercising is, the guy who died while jogging of a heart attack and those sorts of jokes about over-exercising, creating an exertion on your heart. Is there any truth to that sort of mythology around, exertion of your heart from exercising and heart disease, or what other factors are playing a role there?
Well, healthy-appearing people can have bad habits as well, such as they can live a very stressful life, or they could be smoking or have an unhealthy alcohol consumption. They can have untreated depression or eat a lot of sugar, have high cholesterol, family histories. So even though exercise and being physically fit is extremely important in decreasing your risk, is not the whole story.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily counteract. You can't just jog 5 miles and then, I'll have an extra bottle of wine or that sort of thing.
Do you remember Jim Fix?
That's who, the jogging.
Jim Fix.
Right.
So Jim Fix
was his name.
Very heavy, had a heart attack, ended up with a bypass, lost all the weight, and did it primarily through running.
Mm-hmm.
And he died running, but the problem was he was having tons of symptoms and he was in denial. He thought he could just run through his symptoms, and he didn't. he killed himself. Almost literally. So, there's a limit to everything. But in general, the person who is more fit does much, much better than the person who is not fit.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't prevent everything, but it certainly helps you. But it does, on the other hand, prevent quite a bit. So overall, you're much better off being active than not. But you also need to use common sense, especially if you're deconditioned.
Yeah. Go ahead, Phaedra.
I just want to mention a way in which women can sort of evaluate their symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Heart disease will often present itself when you're active. So if you notice you have chest pressure, or you're more fatigued when you're active than you were 3 months ago, let's say, or you have upper back pain when you exert yourself, but if you rest, it goes away. These are like red flag symptoms. So if, you know, I usually tell women, you know, from the waist up, if you have symptoms that present when you exert yourself and go away when you rest, that's something that you should be talking to your provider about.
Okay, great. We're going to take a break here. We're going to continue our conversation with Phaedra McDonough and Mark Burke from the Brattleboro Memorial Hospital Center for Cardiovascular Health. I want to let everybody know that Phaedra will be at Curves on Thursday, this Thursday, 6:30 p.m., to talk about heart health with the women there. And also today is the day that they're doing the heart blood pressure screenings at the hospital right on the ground floor of the Richards Building from noon to 1 today. We'll be back with more after these messages on Live and Local. Again on the Live and Local program, talking about heart health for women with folks from BMH's Center for Cardiovascular Health, nurse practitioner Phaedra McDonough, cardiologist Mark Burke joining me in the studio. Been doing this every Monday morning during the month of February, talking about women and heart disease and signs of that. Now, Phaedra, you're talking a little bit here about some women looking at hormone replacement therapy as a prevention for heart disease in women. What's the center's take on that?
Well, first of all, the reason we even asked this question is that a woman's risk for heart disease increases after menopause, and this is likely related to the decrease in estrogen production. So understanding that, we think, well, we'll replace estrogen, and that way we could help to prevent cardiovascular disease. So there's been a lot of research that's come out on this so far. However, it's still not fully understood. Currently, we discourage women from using hormone replacement therapy for prevention of heart disease based on several large studies that showed either an increase in cardiovascular disease with dual therapies such as estrogen and progesterone together, or no benefit to the prevention of heart disease with estrogen-only therapy. However, there was a large Danish study that was published in 2008 that indicated that estrogen therapy without progesterone appeared to lower the risk of heart disease for women. So there is some contradiction in the research out there. So research continues. So currently, we don't recommend that women go on estrogen progesterone therapy strictly for the protection of cardiovascular disease. However, that being said, it is thought to be safe to go on a short term for decreasing some of the uncomfortable symptoms associated with menopause.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is something I imagine that their primary care clinician would help them assess in terms of the risk for hormone replacement therapy. Would they take the step in a case if somebody has, you know, the obesity, the smoking? Would they send them to the Center for Cardiovascular Health in order to have that further assessment before making the decision on hormone replacement therapy, not heart replacement therapy? That would be a whole other thing that's way science fiction-y.
Replacement. We can do that. So it would depend, not usually.
Usually.
I mean, I think if someone is concerned, if the patient is concerned, or the primary physician has other reasons to be suspicious, then perhaps. But generally, no, if this is a
something that just them and their doctor can.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think the important point here that Phaedra was making was, if you're looking at it only for prevention of heart disease, that's not a reason to do it. But there are many other reasons that where it is legitimate and it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always, as with everything, it's always a balancing act.
Yeah.
What I would tell women, if they've had a heart attack or a stroke, they should definitely not take hormone replacement therapy, because it will increase their risk for having another event and related to the increased clotting risk of these replacement therapies. If you're going to take them, you can't smoke either. That just really increases your risk for
Well, you're talking about somebody, you're talking about a population there that has already had an episode, a heart attack of some sort. You'd like to think, I mean, but granted, you know, quitting smoking is a very difficult thing for people to do, from what I understand. Talk a little bit about that population after they've been diagnosed with heart disease. Maybe they've had an episode. How do you work with them? How does that affect their quality of life?
Well, half of all women who've had a heart attack will be disabled from heart failure within 6 years. So, you know, it's really beneficial for women to practice healthy lifestyles, because it can be very debilitating years out after you've had a heart attack. If you have a heart attack and kill a majority of your heart muscle, because it will not regrow, you could be debilitated immediately.
And by that, we mean crippled.
Right.
So you're chair-bound. Someone has to wait on you. You can't get up to go to the bathroom. It can be really, really distressing.
It's like a Russian roulette in a way. So 23% of women will die within 1 year of having an initial recognized heart attack. Mm. And I say recognized because if you recognize your symptoms and get into the doctor to have yourself evaluated and you don't have that heart attack and die from it, you're lucky, because most people who have heart attacks have sudden cardiac death and don't make it.
Mm. Now, Phaedra, you're going to be at Curves over there on Putney Road on Thursday, 6:30, talking to women there.
Yes.
About heart health. Talk a little bit. I know we've covered this in a couple of the other segments that you've been on here, but talk a little bit about the genetic risks, the lifestyle risks, how all those things play into assessing somebody's risk for heart disease. I imagine these are the very things you'll be talking to the women at Curves about.
Right. There's only a very small portion of the population who has cardiovascular disease has had it passed to them from their parent.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of folks out there have heart disease and die from heart disease prematurely because of lifestyles that they have chosen. You know, I also just want to point out that this is not just an individual problem. This is a society problem. And we as a society need to offer better choices for folks to improve their quality of life.
Amen to that.
Right.
Well, so what you're saying, that kind of fatalism of, oh, you know, I have heart disease in my family. You know, my mother had a heart attack. My father had a heart attack. I'm going to have one, too. I might as well smoke cigarettes. I might as well not exercise. That's really not the case, right? Even if they have that genetic component to it, it is still something that can be prevented.
So genes are overrated.
Yeah.
Okay, so the common one you hear is, oh, you know, my family's short-lived or my family's long-lived. Well, it turns out only 10% of longevity is genetic. It's 90% what you do to yourself. And also luck, what happens to you. You get run over by a car, well, you got run over by a car. One other thing I wanted to sort of focus on is we've spent a lot of time talking a lot of doom and gloom,
mm-hmm.
And it's starting to depress me.
Okay.
So,
take a pivot then, Mark.
Yeah. So it turns out, from my angle on all this, there's really a very positive part of this, which is people have a tremendous amount of control over what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the genetic piece in particular here, so the genetic risk is actually pretty small. Just because, you know, your mother had it or your brother does not mean that you're going to have it. And even if you carry that gene, you have a huge amount of ability to control what happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
But as with everything, you can't control everything. You can't control if you're going to get run over, and you can't necessarily, and you can't control. You can minimize that risk by looking both ways when you cross the street.
But right.
You can't stop the guy who's going to run up on the sidewalk and hit you.
Mm-hmm. But there are things you can, to your point, you can control your diet. You can control your exercise. You can control smoking, things like that. And then there are resources in the community to help with those things, so you can control heart disease. Is smoking something that is more associated with lung cancer, obviously? Are people pretty aware of the impact of tobacco use on the heart at this point, or is that something you still need to kind of be hitting on when you talk to people about heart disease risks?
So people die from heart disease when they smoke.
Yeah.
And
but is that something that's pretty known out there? I mean, I think you ask any smoker and they know the risks of lung cancer,
right.
But do they know the risks of heart disease?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing to me.
No.
Yeah. Just one more time, you're going to be at Curves on Thursday. Other lessons you'll be talking, other lessons you'll be imparting to the people there when you go to Curves?
I'll be talking about the signs and symptoms of heart disease. I'll be talking about the risk factors. A lot of what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. I'll be offering a PowerPoint presentation. I'll be giving out some prizes and
all right.
fun things.
Prizes, good. All right, so go say hi to Phaedra, 6:30 Thursday at Curves. And, of course, the blood pressure screenings at the hospital today at noon, and also CPR classes on the 19th. That's Wednesday from noon to 1 at the hospital as well. That's it for this week for our segment on heart health with BMH Center for Cardiovascular Health, Mark Burke and Phaedra McDonough. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. We go to a break and be back with more Live and Local on WKBT AM 1490, 100.3 FM.
The preceding content originally aired on the Live and Local program, which airs every weekday morning from 9 a.m. to noon on WKBT AM 1490. You can get more podcasts by going to www.1490wkvt.com.